When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Welcome to the sports mecca.
Wow.
The sports mecca of the United States of America right now. Carlos Correa has fulfilled his lifelong dream of being drafted by the Twins. He went to Houston instead of the Twins in way back when, and now he's a Twin for at least one season. And now, this morning, we get the goalie who's won cups. How many cups? Three cups.
I bet he's got three, Marc-Andre Fleury.
Three cups with the Penguins, and then
Didn't he win one with Vegas?
They didn't win it.
Oh, that's right. They lost.
He put Vegas on his back and took him to the finals, what, 3 years ago? Mm-hmm. So
Ovi beat him.
And
that's right.
I was talking to Judd, and supposedly he's a hell of a guy. Everybody loves him. He's a, you know, kind of a funny Frenchman, and everybody embraces him. And do you know that he and Bill Guerin were teammates?
Really?
That's
Did
how
they
long
get him to
around.
Start now? Is he going to be the starter?
Well, he'll be there tonight as the backup for Talbot, but he and Talbot will probably alternate, I would guess, right?
Because they got a lot of games, you know.
And they got rid of the Finlander today. They traded him someplace.
San Jose.
Okay, here's what I don't understand.
They got a defenseman,
they
a rugged defenseman.
They still have all these days off between games. Why are they piling them on in April?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I mean, some of this was from the Olympic break that they didn't take, but they did play some games in there. I don't know why they had some COVID early, too, right?
Plus, too, they had all the tournaments. You know, they had the wrestling tournament. They had the both hockey tournaments,
oh,
right?
They have nine. They're on a nine-game homestand, right?
Yeah.
And they've only played two of them, right?
They're at home tonight. They're at home Thursday night. They're at home Saturday and Sunday.
Wow. Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, Columbus on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Colorado with an afternooner on
Ooh,
Sunday.
Ooh, Colorado. By then, we might be breathing down their necks.
Yeah, maybe. But the only problem is, I know Fleury's old, but he's also hasn't been very good this year.
Yeah, but he's playing with a bad team, too.
That's true.
That has a tendency to affect your goaltending.
That's
true.
So
who's the Twins' third baseman?
Well, Louis Rice would be my choice.
And
they also got the guy from the Yankees.
Urshela,
who's a left-handed hitter.
Who's second base?
Polanco.
Who's first
League
base?
All-star. The big boy.
If it's up to me, it's Alex Kirilloff, not Stonehands at first base.
It's going to be Sano and Kirilloff in left field and Kepler.
Span in center field.
Buxton. Are they going to keep? It looks like they're going to keep Kepler. Huh?
What are you going to get
no
for
rumors.
Him?
Yeah, that's probably it. But I like the lineup if they can. If we can get the manager to now, if we can, obviously they got to be healthy because Correa's had some injuries too, not as many as Buxton, but some. But here's the secret to me with this lineup: can we get the manager to actually play it?
Mm-hmm.
Can we get him to say, "This is my lineup for 140 games"?
Yep.
Without the much needed rest,
without the getting them off their feet, can we get him to say, "Okay, here's my lineup: Polanco leading off, Arise hitting second, Buxton hitting third, Correa hitting fourth, Kirilloff hitting fifth, Sano hitting sixth, Who I got left? Say, oh, Kepler hit in seventh.
Okay. Jeffers?
The DH, who I got as Rooker right now. I think that kid can hit. And ninth, the catcher. Yeah.
Okay, you want him to have that lineup.
I want him to say, sir, just wave out to the umpire and say, same one as yesterday. We don't need to come out there.
Here's what I want from him.
Yeah.
I want him to play the game he's playing that day.
Yeah, right.
That's, I don't want to care about 2 weeks from now.
Yes, that's true. That's true. I think we're from the same wavelength, right?
Starting with game one, he'll be worried about something three games later.
Yes. Yeah, he will.
Well, if I don't play this guy in game one, I'll have him available for when we go. No.
I was convinced that they were going to start the season with 14 pitchers, which would leave a three-player bench, which would mean Sanchez would have to be your backup catcher. But supposedly, one of these days, they're going to announce that the first month of the season, it's going to be a 27-player roster. You can have an extra pitcher.
Oh. They got any left-handed pitchers?
Not starters.
No.
They don't have a left-handed starter. They got plenty in the bullpen. They're good lefty in the bullpen, but... I'm not that worried about the bullpen. You got the two big guys, Rogers and Duffy, and you can build around them. But the starting rotation, a little thin to say the least. Now, if Joe Ryan is good and Bailey Ober is good and Bundy's your fifth starter, then you need one.
But, did you watch the game yesterday? The Twins
little
game?
Bit of it.
I caught the first
They're
inning.
Playing right now as we speak.
Yes, they are.
They're playing... At hated Baltimore.
So Bundy's pitching. You know, he hasn't been great. He was a highly touted prospect once.
Oh, God, he threw 100 as a kid.
And Kirilloff's playing first base. There's a dribbler up the line. I think this was the first batter of the game. And, you know, they do the simulcast with Corey and Danny doing the radio, and they're being featured on TV. And Provost goes, well, he dives to the bag. And then Glenn goes, well, he missed it. Because he went, but then Bundy just kind of glared at him like, really? You didn't make that play? So I don't know if he's got that in him, Bundy, or not. But we'll find out.
But he's, you know, they're not, you know, he's going to have to play left field because they don't, you know, who else? Larnick is not ready. So,
well, that, and they'll put a rise out there occasionally, too, which is always kind of an
adventure. Supposedly, I read a story last week that they told him to just worry about the infield.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Where's Correa from?
He's a Puerto Rican, I believe.
Yes.
Is he not? He was.
He was the first pick when Buxton was the second.
Buxton was supposed to be the first pick, and Houston, to save some money, took Correa, but also because they scouted real well, and so they were 1-2 in that draft. But last year he won the Platinum Glove, which is the best fielder in the league. Now, you know, they got the whole Gold Glove, and then they take a guy from all the positions and say this guy is the best fielder
of all of them.
And Buxton won that the one year that he was actually healthy. So
is Buxton healthy in camp right now?
Oh yeah, he's raring to go. He's got his money and he's raring to go. And
you know what's not
the first thing he did? Got the first, stole second.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, this year. So.
You know, it's not a bad thing too to have a really good player that's destined to go out and make $300 million.
Yes,
that's a good.
Yeah, he wants to have a good season.
Yes, he does.
But Scott Boras, who's been around, his agent career started off with the famous George Brophy story of when he was screaming at Boras, telling him. Boras was a rookie agent, and he had Tim Belcher, the number one draft choice in 1983. And he was trying to get money out of the Twins. The Twins, Calvin, that was the year Calvin didn't sign any of his top three draft choices, and they all made it to the big leagues. But
whoops!
But Brophy, that's when Brophy is screaming at Boras was a minor league player, failed minor league player. And that's when Brophy was screaming profanities at him at the Metrodome office and telling him he was a bleep and bleep ball player and a bleep and bleep agent and go bleep himself. And then he hung up the phone, slammed the phone down, and the young woman came to Rancy and said, Jim Rance, and said, is Mr. Brophy okay? And he said, yeah, he was just talking to his wife. Don't worry.
I remember you telling me that.
That was Belcher. You know, that was Tim Belcher. Well, all these years later, he's delivering Carlos Correa.
One of the best players in the game.
Because he was the agent for Corey Seager and Marcus Semien, two free agents, in really good middle infielders, shortstop and a second baseman. He, before the lockout, December 2nd, he got $500 million total for the two of them from Texas.
Wow.
$325 and $175. They made that deal with Texas. Well, Correa, in the middle of January, changed agents to Boris. He dropped his guy from William Morris because he wanted $300 million too.
Right.
But obviously, when we came back, the Yankees decided not to go for it. And a lot of rumors he was going to the Yankees. They decided not to go for it. So Boris, Joe, is kind of famous for he waits and he waits for what he wants, right?
Mm-hmm.
He makes a promise to a player and he figures out a way to get him money. Well, that's why he finally went to the Twins, apparently, and said, "You want him for a year?" Instead of Trevor Story for 4 years.
Well, wasn't it six?
Or six or what? Yeah, he didn't get that much.
He got six for $140
for
Boston.
So he got this. He's only here for a year?
Well, they got an opt out.
Yeah.
He's got one year.
He signed a 3 year deal, but he can opt out
at each year. And obviously the idea is he'll have a great year. Next year, there'll be a full off season he'll opt out for sure. Doesn't mean he can't come back. But Boris always takes guys to free agency. He always takes them to free agency. So, but here's the deal. He's also the agent for Royce Lewis, who's the shortstop in waiting, who's going to miss this season in the big league. He's going to come back and play after having ACL surgery last year. So he's got the shortstop of the present and the shortstop of the future for the Twins, Boris.
He's comfortable.
He's making a nice living.
I said this in a column Sunday, but Marvin Miller, was a genius. And he was dealing with a bunch of dummies from baseball when he was and Boris is like the modern Marvin Miller. When he walks in the room, he's the smartest guy there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been doing this now. He's been the big gun for like 30 years, probably, right, Chris?
Yeah, easily.
Now, he was very upset about the deal that the players went for because he wanted to get rid of the...
Was he the main holdup in the negotiations?
Well, he was big on the two-year guys should be able to go to arbitration. He wanted to, instead of the super 220, he wanted that he thought they should have hung in there for putting more of the two.
But they did raise the minimum, right?
They did raise that, but they didn't change the percentage of super twos that could be free agents.
Yeah.
So he was upset about that.
You mentioned the lineup cards. Did you see the Dusty Baker thing yesterday?
With the little kid.
Yeah. Joe, you remember the kid?
I did see it. I saw your tweet about it.
Oh, it was great. Because you remember he was the little kid that almost got run over in the World Series, and JT Snow saved his life.
Yeah, that's the kid. I think he was drafted somewhere.
Well, Washington took him, I think, when Dusty was still part of the organization, or maybe not. But it just, basically the caption of the video just said, "It's that kid. We're all old."
Yes, right.
Who's he playing for?
He was drafted by the Nationals.
Oh. He's not in the big league.
Yeah, he's a minor league. He's a minor leaguer.
Mm-hmm. Are you enjoying the tournament?
Here we go. Yeah.
Terrible basketball. The basketball's awful. Have you tried to watch a game?
Yes.
Do you ever get tired of them having to go to the monitor to
decide whether
who touched the ball?
Right.
There's got to be a limit. We cannot, every time some jerk wants to go like this, let's look at it. We don't have to look at it.
Right.
Say, no. No.
Yeah.
Maybe next time. Shut up. Let's go. Come on. God almighty. But the refs love going over there. They become the star attraction. We got 150 Ed Hockleys.
No, we have Gene Serator to blame for
this.
Yes, that's who we need.
What do you think, Gene? Well, I don't know. It looks pretty close. There should be. There's got to be a limit of one for each team in the last 2 minutes or something. You can't do it seven times, for God's. And then the other thing, Joe, is sometimes even when they don't ask for it, the dorks have to go over there and see if there's 8.2 seconds left or 8.4 seconds left. Right. Let's put 0.2 more seconds on. Ah! One of the many, you know, one of the worst things that ever happened? Hmm. The basketball clock that has tenths on it.
Yep.
In our youth.
There were no tenths.
There were no tenths.
Yeah, you don't
it
do
was
tenths.
A second. Yep. If you don't do tenths, then we don't have these guys running over there. Mm-hmm. The clock can be whatever it wants to be.
Right.
8.1 or 8.7.
Right.
That's tough bananas, buddy.
Yeah.
Make up your mind.
You know who? Did you watch any of the Illinois game yesterday?
No, they must have been terrible.
Well, they were neck and neck with Houston. And what changed it was a phantom call, that technical call. So
technical guy hanging on the rim. Okay.
But you know what? Reggie Miller was doing the game. Here, I'm going to play the clip.
So wait a minute. Is there a time limit that you can hang on the rim?
Well, if he hadn't hung on to the rim, he was going to go flying into the stands because it was a
but
fast
break.
But
is that a penalty if you're hanging on the rim?
Well, yes.
It kind of depends upon if you're doing it for show, if you're doing it to save your life.
Yeah.
But mostly it's for show.
Correct.
Hernandez! No. Absolutely not. I'm sorry. First of all, his momentum is taking him with him. He has to swing back. You cannot give this young man a technical foul for this. He's not showing up or anything. Because if he doesn't, he is going to almost kill himself. You've got to swing on the rim right here.
Otherwise, die.
Yes. Right.
Well...
he's
allegedly,
great, by the way, on TV.
He is good.
Yeah.
Allegedly, Underwood, he told the referee, O'Connell or something.
I can't remember.
Told Underwood that he missed the call. Mm-hmm. But they do not, the referees, right, in the NCAA rules, you cannot ask them questions about judgment calls.
So, right. Well, and what the unfortunate part. The unfortunate part is that fast break, because Illinois was getting back into the game, and that fast break, I believe, made it a 3-point game, and they had all them, and so it just killed everything.
Yeah, Underwood.
Even though Houston was the better team.
You
no
like
question.
The St. Peter story, don't you?
Oh, it's great.
That's a fun
it's
story.
It's great. I mean, God, they were plucky as can be, man. And here's the stat I came up with on this.
All right.
St. Peter's of New Jersey.
Jersey City.
Lost to St. Francis of Brooklyn on the St. Peter's court, 71-60. And St. Francis of Brooklyn lost to your alma mater, St. Thomas, on their home court, 91-73.
Really?
So if you add it all up, the Tommies are about a 30-point favorite over Kentucky, right? You know? Kentucky was so rotten. I watched it.
Oh, my God.
I was mesmerized by how rotten they were. And that lefty mm-hmm. guard, I tweeted out, like, this lefty guard from Kentucky is St. Peter's secret weapon. And 5 seconds later, he threw it over the head of the guy under the basket. I don't know what his name was, but they didn't run anything. And then Calipari is one of these guys, when they make a mistake and there's a minute to go, he doesn't tell them, okay, now do this. He just chews them out,
right.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know if you heard the show on Friday, Pat, but we had a controversy erupt at the Reavers house.
Okay.
The 10-year-old told me he thought Kentucky was going to lose. But instead of writing St. Peter, he wrote down San Francisco, which was the team above Kentucky, mm-hmm. instead of the team that they were actually playing. So
I'm interested in his ruling.
Joe, what would you say?
I have issued my ruling.
I give him the win.
Okay, yeah, Joe said the same thing.
You got to give the kid the point.
Yeah. Yes, you got it. Now, is this Will or Lee?
Yeah, this is Willie. Well, he's all in on the bracket. Mm-hmm. And he picked Murray State to beat St. Pete, which almost happened.
I'm getting
but then
beat
St.
by
Pete.
A six-year-old.
No, I got to give him the win, really, because it's just a typo, basically.
Yeah, but he did say he thought, because I said, really, buddy, you're going to pick Kentucky to lose their first game?
But then the Kentucky women turn around and get beat by, they were a Tuesday. They won the Southeast Conference.
How about South Dakota?
They beat Baylor bloody in Waco.
Wow.
Led by a kid from Rogers, Minnesota.
Are they in Sioux Falls? Is that South Dakota?
They're Vermilion.
Okay.
They're the smaller one right down on the Nebraska border.
Got it.
Brookings is north of Sioux Falls.
Okay.
And Vermilion. But South Dakota State, which beat the Gophers by 100 in the WNIT last night, which is the Gophers should have never been in it. But they got screwed. They should have been in the tournament.
Really?
Yeah, they were the two teams were 17-1 each in the Summit Conference.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, they're really good. Mm. But South Dakota in Waco, and with 3 minutes to go in the first quarter, what are they playing? 10-minute quarters, right?
I believe so.
Like 2:40 to go. They hadn't scored. Looked like they might shut them out.
Oh, boy.
Baylor. So, anyway, yeah, girls. You know, one thing about the women's tournament, we now get some upsets. They're for
Why wasn't South Dakota State in the tournament?
They didn't select them because they didn't win the conference.
Oh,
South Dakota won the conference, and
Iowa lost. The Iowa women lost to Creighton.
Very upset, Caitlin Clark. Yeah, that was also Minnesota kids. Wait, now sometimes I get confused at the Creighton had their two leading scorers. Maybe that was the Rochester Mayo duo, and then South Dakota has two or three of them that are Minnesota kids.
Okay.
So we're Minnesota doing very well in the NCAA.
Four other teams.
Gabe Kalscher beat Wisconsin.
Oh, that's right.
I'm looking at the bracket for the NCAA men's hockey. Where's your hated Mankato?
We're playing Thursday. We're hosting Harvard. Well, not hosting.
Hosting.
Yeah.
You got Harvard, and where is your regional?
Oh, you're in Albany, New York.
Yeah, we're in Albany.
Why do they've made Mankato go out? The Gophers got to play UMass in Worcester.
Right.
What the hell? Where's the
what seed were the Gophers? Weren't they a three?
They're a two.
They're a two.
Mankato's got to be one of the ones.
Yeah, right? We're the
number one.
One
thing I've learned from the basketball tournament, there's no difference between a 5 seed and an 8 seed.
Or a 12 seed. Yes. Right. Yeah.
There's a difference between a 15 and a 1.
Would you like to discuss the Mankato game from Saturday?
Did you hear about this, Joe?
No.
Go ahead,
You have
Patrick.
Not heard about this.
No.
Mankato is playing
Bemidji State
for the tournament championship. Mankato's on like a 12 or 13 game winning streak, right? They haven't lost forever. They should be rated number one I think they're rated number one in the state, but they weren't seeded number one in the tournament, right? But anyway, Mankato is playing Bemidji. And if Bemidji loses, Bemidji wins, they get the automatic berth.
Right.
Then Mankato goes as a.
They're probably still a one seed.
They might still be a one seed.
Yep.
But in overtime, it's 1-1, right?
Yes.
In overtime, Mankato scores. They review it. They do the full review. They look at it. There's no controversy. Nobody's screaming, right? And Mankato wins 2-1. And Mankato receives the trophy and they do the lineup, the shake hands. They do the lineup. They celebrate on the ice before a jam-packed.
Crowd's going ballistic.
And then they go inside for 20 more minutes. So we're now, and while Bemidji goes into their locker room.
With their dauber down.
A couple of their players in the stands come down with their cell phones and show them some video that shows that the winning puck went under the frame of the goal.
Right.
It was lifted off and it went under. So, but it's over. The guys are
having cigarettes in the locker room.
The guys are at the bars. The bars downtown are full. The Mettlers has got the girls dancing.
Front Street is rocking.
Yeah, the guys are getting their special dances at Mettlers to celebrate, and so then Tom Ceratori, who I believe, but he and Hastings are like buddies, St. Cloud State buddies. Yeah. I mean, he's a good guy. But he comes out and shows this to, I think he tracks down Lucia, right? Lucia.
That I don't know.
And shows him the video. And they have a big consultation and decide to wave off the goal.
Holy mackerel.
Wave off the goal.
Got to bring him back from downtown.
A half an hour, 35.
Boys, put your stuff back
in. Half hour late, the guys. So
it was 40 minutes.
Hastings could have really raised hell, but I don't think he did. I think he and Serator are buddies. But the reason they're doing this, Joe, is without flatly stating it, that if Bemidji wins, they get a third team, and the conference gets a third team in the playoff, in the tournament, in the 16.
Because Hastings knows he's a one seed regardless.
Mankato's in. Mankato's in. But you cannot make a decision that you would not have made for both teams. And it's pretty clear from Lucia's quotes to Chip today. Chip wrote a column kind of supporting Lucia's view of it, which I disagree with violently, but saying I couldn't have a team season end that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if Mankato, what he's basically admitting is if Bemidji had scored that goal and 20 minutes later somebody from Mankato showed him the video, they would have never done it.
Right.
You can't make a decision based on the team you wanted to win not winning, right?
So 40 minutes later, do they resume playing?
40 minutes later, they bring them. An hour later before they drop the puck.
Who won the game?
Mankato ended up winning it.
Okay.
And not long after they resume play.
40 minutes. Then they gave them like a 15. They had to redo the ice.
Yep.
And then they gave them a 20-minute warm-up, so it was an hour.
Jeez.
And they said people started flying out of the bar. Dan Myers, who works for the Wild and is a Mankato guy, was live streaming it on his cell phone as the crowd came back in. And they looked like they had about 1,500 people back in, a couple of thousand to see it. But
That's the thing.
Well, during all of that time, did the fans in the building know what was going on?
Well, there were hardly
they just
anybody.
Leave?
By the time they... You know, once they had the trophy presentation, because I think it was well over a half hour before they actually told people that they were going to start. They were still down. Lucia was still down negotiating with Mankato and saying.
They were fortunate because it was a 1 o'clock puck drop. It wasn't a late afternoon, early evening game. So not that changes what Royce was talking about. But
that does sound like you behaved only for one club.
Yes, it does. That's what I'm saying. And now I did tweet out that there was a class action lawsuit being considered in Mankato that guys had to interrupt their special dances at Mettler's and they wanted a rebate. And Moose from Mettler said, "That's very funny and also true."
Is Mettler's a script club?
Yes, it is.
Yes,
very close to the arena.
Yes, right around the corner.
Very close
to the
arena.
That's not a good fit, really. No.
You know, when a guy goes to school there and leaves a game, he might stop in for on his walk back.
Yeah. There's an old Viking coach. The last time I was in Mettler's got to be 30 years ago, right? And I don't know how we ended up down there, but we did. But I was down there for Viking camp, and there was an old Viking coach, head coach, not named Bud, who, as the players, you'd see all the play. One reason you go down there and see who was hanging, you know, see which of our athletes were hanging out down there, you know. And at 10 to 11, boom, because they had to be back in the hall, empty. Yeah. You know, there they went. 11:05, the old coach from the Vikings walked in the back door, who shall go nameless. But Steve Thompson from the WCCO is a pretty funny guy and a pretty funny Twitter guy. He says, "Mettler's, I've never heard of it." And I said, "Stick to that story. That's a good idea." But yeah, it was.
Well, someone had told me that lives in town. I don't know if it's accurate or not. That usually, because this was going to be their last game of the year.
Were you at
home.
That game?
No, I went to the previous two Saturdays, but you couldn't find a ticket for that Saturday night. But apparently there was a concert Sunday night And meaning that had they known the game was over, they were going to start tearing down the rink because they host a lot of concerts there.
Yeah,
because it was going to be their last home game of the year.
There were probably still some parents waiting around to say something to their kids after the game and friends and stuff. But the arena was pretty well empty when they said, bring them back. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The Don. But as I told somebody, and you'll agree with this, you and I had the privilege of hosting the Doug Woog Show.
Yes, we did.
Which was more fun than a room full of monkeys. You know, it was great. And then we got the Don, who didn't want to do it. He didn't want, A, he didn't want to do it, but B, he didn't want to participate in the hijinks.
Right.
Right. The Wooger was the hijinks, right, basically, because we used to play that strip music sound for him, and he used to complain. He'd send us tapes with the music he wanted for the show, and we had, this crazy music, but he was hilarious. And then we got the Don, who finally, I think he gave us one winner and then said, I'm not doing it with those two idiots anymore. Because we tried to have fun with him, and he had no interest in fun. Basically, you're admitting that you made this decision because the team you wanted Bemidji to get into the tournament. But I'm a little worried. Your team should be scoring more goals, though. Let's go into the tournament. This is really a defensive team.
They played, because when I went the first night, I went Friday night when they hosted St. Thomas, and they played really conservative because they knew they're a better club. But even when they played Western Michigan, they steamrolled them. It was 8-1, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
Western Michigan's in the tournament.
Well, they did make it.
Western Michigan had a really good year in the NCHC. But I don't know.
Will that cost Lucia his commissionership?
Oh, no. No. Because Mankato's not making a big deal out of it.
Right.
So they're, But 1-1 is a dangerous way to play hockey.
Yes, it is. Well, that's been the last couple of years. Remember they killed the beat the Gophers.
Beat them bloody
to
physically.
Get into the Final Four, and then
they were the best team last year.
And then they played exactly what you're talking about when they lost to UMass.
But Joe,
St. Cloud.
It's been an amazing story what this guy's done down in Mankato. But they were the best team in the country when they shut it down in 2000. They were
when they didn't have a tournament.
Because that team, they had about five or six high-powered offensive players to go with this McKay kid as a goaltender.
Or any of them in the NHL?
Defensive.
Well, there's a...
I don't know.
I think two of them at least have been called up, I think.
What's the name of the kid from...
Dryden McKay?
No, the European guy that was a great player. German kid who was a great player.
What was his name?
Yeah, that team 2 years ago was like... unbeatable, and then they ended up not getting to play because of the shutdown came right when the 16 team part of the tournament was getting started.
Hey, I have a baseball question for you.
Yes.
What are the Mets and the Yankees going to do with the COVID or with the vaccine mandates in New York?
Are they still going to exist a month from now?
Well, that's what I'm asking. I don't know if that's been addressed by baseball. Because I know a judge was asked about it at Yankees camp, and he really didn't give an answer.
Yeah. Well, they're going to...
You're playing outside. What's the problem?
I would think that it would be... What do they got? They got a couple of weeks to... April 1st, is there a chance that they're going to change it in New York? April 1st?
I don't know.
We got a new variant, though, so we can probably keep it going. And Canada, too. At this point, you can't play in Toronto unless you're vaccinated. Right?
I don't know.
Am I right?
I think so.
I think so, yeah. So, I don't know. There's some people who don't want to give it up, man. The ship has sailed. But, those who aren't vaccinated aren't getting vaccinated now.
You're
right?
Not convincing anybody either way, correct?
Yep. We can get the Pfizer wants us to get the fourth one, though.
I'm not a Pfizer guy.
You're a Moderna guy? Well,
I don't want another one.
Why not? Well, yeah, have them give it to you right in that.
Right here.
Does the public know about this?
Sure.
Have you guys been discussing this?
It's no big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Well,
A lot of things a guy can't do with a broken hand.
Hands are good.
Hit. You can't hit.
Can't grip a club.
No, you can't do anything.
He did declare on the show last week, hands are important.
Hands are important.
Yes. Hey, who won the golf?
Sam Burns. Second.
Boy, is that guy
only
playing.
He and Paul Casey have won that tournament in back-to-back years.
He is playing great.
Yeah, but two players I'd never heard of were right there.
Yeah.
Matthew, what the hell is his name? Matthew Naismith.
Yes, I never heard.
And Davis Riley.
Never heard either of them.
Davis Riley's a rookie, and I don't know if Naismith is.
That's Hollis's tournament, and he didn't exactly have a star field. But one of those guys, is it Davis, whatever his name is? He and Justin Thomas played college golf together.
Davis Riley at Alabama.
And our big buddies. Yeah. But obviously Justin's had a little more meteoric rise than Davis Riley has had. But that was Hollis tournaments. They didn't get much of a field. But the thing in Florida now is you have to have your string of holes where you got a special name for them. And mm-hmm. they got the snake pit.
They got the
copperhead.
Pit.
It's a fairly tough golf course, I guess. So.
Where is it? North of Tampa?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to play a golf course named after a snake.
No, I don't like snakes.
Especially Florida snakes.
Yeah.
What was that?
Serpent.
They got gators, too.
Where did we have all the floods just now? Where did we have all the floods? Not in the U.S., but...
I don't know.
Where?
Why?
Because...
That brings out snakes?
They were talking about how these poor people coming back to their homes were fighting these snakes and all their old furniture and stuff because they wanted to get out of the water. And one of them was the deadliest in the world.
Really?
Even deadlier than the one in Honduras.
Well, this has to be Africa then.
Yeah, where the hell was it? It was some... I'm thinking somewhere in Asia, but I can't remember. We had horrible floods. I can't remember where they were, but...
Oh! What was the name of the sport you mentioned? I got an email maybe 2 weeks ago. The guy was it Mayan ball?
Mayan ball.
Okay,
yeah.
that's what I thought.
That was in Honduras in the thousand, year 1000 or 1200.
You lost your head?
This lost village. This is a great book. Read this. The Lost World of whatever, you can find it. Somewhere in Honduras.
How would Don Lucia have ruled if he was the commissioner of Mayan ball?
Yes, we want to get another team in the tournament. But if we make Mankato lose, then they might have to sacrifice somebody. So, yeah, they would. Mayan ball was tough because you played to one.
Right.
You had a big... was hoop up there, and you had to throw it in there, and you made one, that was it.
That's over.
Died?
Well, you got to sacrifice
you
somebody.
The losing team had to provide a human sacrifice from its roster, I believe.
Yep. That's a tough way to
but
go.
But if it was a really big game,
yeah.
they might kill the whole losing team,
those are some tough rules.
Man, that would have good TV ratings. The NFL. The Super Bowl. If Tom Brady loses, he gets executed.
Right. Imagine the replays for Mayan ball.
The way the world's headed, that's probably what's going to happen.
Probably. What are we going to do about the scumbag?
I don't know. Sacrifice him.
Yeah. Somebody's got
to. Make him play Mayan ball.
I want Bob Lee Swagger to come to life. World's best sniper.
That's true. That is true.
I don't know, Pat.
That's good.
It sounds like nuclear war is inevitable.
Mm-hmm. He's getting too close to Poland here. If he starts to lose ground, he's going to use one. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what the hell we do, right?
Yep.
That could delay the baseball season.
Yeah. It really could, couldn't it?
It could, yes.
Then the Twins are off the hook for their rotation.
They have canceled the series in Yankee Stadium this weekend because of nuclear threat.
That's not funny.
No, it's not.
Why am I laughing?
Because that's
funny.
Just the state that we're in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's this is incredible. It's really incredible. And we just, we spend our time worrying about other stuff. But this is, it's incredible that a person is doing this. That's amazing. So, anyhow, on that positive note,
hey, really quick before we sign off,
they got the Vegas tonight.
Yeah. We lost a good one last Friday. Longtime Faribault High School football coach Jim Tetzloff passed away.
Really?
Yep, I had him, and I also played multiple sports with his son Paul. He was a really, really good guy.
How old a fella?
78 years old. He had a battle with leukemia that he did not make public, so a lot of people did not know that he was ill. But he's just Mankato State baseball player. Great guy. One of the best. He coached all of our teams growing up and whatnot, but he was a really good one.
And the death of John Clayton came out of nowhere.
Oh, I saw that too,
The kind of funny-looking... one of the early ESPN, not early, but one of the, like, 15 years ago, he was on ESPN all the time doing NFL. He worked for Glenn Crevier at the Tacoma newspaper and went from there to becoming a national. He was a guy whose whole life was based on
football.
NFL.
Yep. He still had one of the greatest ESPN commercials. Remember when he had the ponytail? Mm-hmm. And remember he was yelling at his mom because he did his TV hit? And then he has he's got an Iron Maiden theme bedroom and whatnot. I thought that was a great one. That was a really funny one.
Yeah, I didn't, as the saying goes, I didn't know he was sick. So.
And everybody loved the guy.
Yeah, he seemed to, I know Glenn loved him, but of course, all editors love somebody who spends 18 hours a day and doesn't charge them overtime doing stuff. They all, in the newspaper business, that's how you are beloved.
So. 62 degrees outside.
Wow! Top down again. Top down. Why air that thing out? All right.
Stocks teetering.
Yeah. What are we doing today?
We're down.
How far?
279.
Where's
points.
Fiat?
That ain't bad.
Is Fiat doing okay?
I don't even look anymore.
I want a Fiat. I might have to sell my Fiat stock. I don't know here.
All right.
A beautiful lawn is just a click away. Hello, sports fans. You schedule that free in-person lawn care analysis and estimate right now at professionalturf.com. You do that, ProTurf will send a highly trained and experienced service tech to your home who will analyze your lawn's condition, then customize a 3-to-5-step fertilizer and weed control application plan that's environmentally safe and guaranteed for superior results. A beautiful, healthy lawn free of crabgrass, dandelions, and broadleaf weeds. Locally owned, Professional Turf, they've been serving the Twin Cities since 1982. Schedule your free in-person lawn care estimate today at professionalturf.com.
Everyone is going mad in March trying to narrow the field down to 16 and then 4. This is Patrick Racy for the Canopy Group, and they have their savory 16. The Canopy Group has 16 different insurance companies giving options to provide you the best home and auto insurance coverage at the best price. At the Canopy Group, their tournament never ends. They continue to use their 16 different companies to match you with the company providing the best coverage at the best price, and they do this annually. Get in the game. Contact the Canopy Group and get them working on your brackets. Bracketology is not foolproof for home and auto insurance. The sure bet is on the Canopy Group, saving you an average $810 on your home and auto insurance. That's every year. Call 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com.
It's Reavers here for Josh Arnold. Mr. Money Talk is what he's called around these parts. Josh has been an investment consultant since 1978. This extensive career has given him the experience needed to manage your money in both up and down markets. Josh provides independent, personalized investment planning to individuals and small businesses, including retirement plans. Josh has been doing this for quite some time, and the thing that separates him from the rest is he will always give you straight talk and never sugar-coated advice. When you invest for yourself or for your small business with Josh, you get the same straight talk that you would expect from Mr. Money Talk. You also get an investment consultant who will work proactively with you to create a strategy that fits your goals. You can also hear him at the end of Garage Logic every Tuesday and Thursday with a full report. Give him a call today for that free 48-minute financial consultation at 952-925-5608. That number once again is 952-925-5608. Or for more information, just visit his website, josharnoldinvestmentconsultant.com.